Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello?
Oh, I thought you said what's happening.
Hello?
Hello?
What's happening?
Hello? What's happening?
Hello? What's happening?
Hello? We're back in the virtual space, so can you tell it's weird?
Can you tell it's confusing? Can you tell that I am animal sitting? If you hear yelps or growls or cries in the background, it's because I'm with some very happy puppies. Even if they're yelping, I promise they're loved and happy.
They're having a good time.
They're just very excited about being alive. So sometimes they ask for things when they don't need to be asking for anything.
They're bad.
Like pets. They always want to be. I'm petting at least two dogs at all times. One in each hand.
Wow.
Because if one sees that one's being pet, the other one will be like, no, but me. Me now. And then the cats, they get what they get. Because the other two are very... very dramatic. But hi and hello.
Oh, hello.
And welcome to this discombobulation nation.
This is Dogs Are Everywhere and Cats.
That's right. And cats. And dogs and cats and dogs and cats and animals.
And dogs and cats. And sometimes a ghost or two.
And sometimes ghosts.
And the occasional ghost. And we're here again to tell you about our dogs and our cats and some ghosts too.
Correct. I'm Carly.
I'm Cecilia.
And this is what we just told you. But we usually shorten the title to just Ghosts Are Everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. It's cleaner.
Yeah, it's easier. It's more marketable.
It's a little bit more marketable.
It's doesn't mean the other title isn't correct. So that's what we're doing here. We're just vibing, talking about ghosts, talking about animals, talking about everything.
Talking about everything you want to hear us talking about.
That's right. You're welcome to it.
And we have a theme this week.
Mostly ghosts.
We have
a theme this week. We have such a good theme. Before we jump into our theme, which if you've read our description, you know what it is. I just wanted to give a big shout out to our pals in Flin Flon. we don't know who you are, but we love ya.
If you're listening,
Flin Flon.
We love you, Flin Flon. We got a spike of listeners in my favorite place I've never been to and probably will never go to, but just did
absolutely
really enjoy the name of Flin Flon, Manitoba. Flin Flon. It's in Manitoba, right?
It's totally Manitoba. It's like along the border.
Okay.
Manitoba. We as a group, as a team, have loved Flin Flon since we were in high school.
For years. Together.
For years, we have been fans of this place because we think the name is so funny.
It is. Flin Flon.
It's amazing.
It's a Flin and a Flon. And
yeah, we saw it in a book one day at school and we said, look at that place. That place is called Flin Flon.
That's a good place.
That's our favorite. And now we've made it. So thank you to Flin Flon for making us feel like we've made the big time. Just for listening.
So, you know, it's official. We've made it. Doing great.
We've reached Flin Flon. Welcome, Flin Flon. Welcome, everyone else.
That is.
But specifically, welcome to Flin Flon.
That has been our goal. And we finally did it. We're there. We're in Flin Flon.
Yeah, it's like one of those secret goals we didn't know we had.
And yeah.
We achieved it. We were like, well.
Achievement unlocked.
We could retire now.
We got a gold star.
Yeah, it feels very that. It feels very. Mario Party, and it's great. We love it. So, just wanted to say that off the top. We're starting off this week good, baby. It's good week.
Flin Flon.
Yeah, Flin Flon.
Mm-hmm, we're there.
But you mentioned this week we have a really good theme, Cecilia.
I did.
Which you suggested, just like right off the tail of last week's episode.
I was just thinking of things. I was trying to find something that we haven't done before. I mean, we have done this before, just not like on purpose as a theme.
Yeah.
So I suggested we do royal ghosts, and
the royal ghosts,
the royalist of ghosts, and that is what we're doing.
Yeah. Oh my god, when you suggested it, it was so quick and I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. You have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We've done, yeah, like you said, royal ghosts before. We've done castles, we've done all kinds of, we've been all over the world, man. We've been doing this for a while.
Castles, notably, very haunted. Yeah.
Very haunted. Surprise. But we have yet to do, okay, let me just let this dog out, but he's just yelling. Buddy, there's nothing out there, my guy.
We have our dog content happening. Outside. Kylie is busy.
Do you have to go pee-pee because you're a puppy?
back. Sorry.
Bad dogs.
Dog time.
Dogs.
Okay, we were talking about
bad dogs.
Dogs. And they're still growling. Yeah, we've done lots of castles. Surprising. So haunted. But we have yet to do this theme, and I love this theme. Who doesn't love royals? Who isn't obsessed with royals in a little bit of a way? Our way, our angle is ghosts.
So our angle is always ghosts. That's where we're coming from at all times.
Surprise. You know it. And you like it. You come back every week.
You do. Every week. Ghosts. Definitely.
Every week.
And you have to.
You That's right. You're contractually obligated.
You are. You just can't stay away.
It's not our fault.
It
we
is
can't
our
help
fault.
You.
We're well, the best.
No, it's our gift, really.
It's our gift.
It's our gift to the world.
We have the gift of the gab.
We have that gift of the... We don't even have to go to Blarney and kiss the stone. We've got
no,
the gift of the gab.
We already have it.
Oh, hell yeah. And if you want to know more about the Blarney Stone, we did an episode a few weeks back on it. Just a self-plug. Good reference. Yeah, good reference.
Uh-huh.
So we are doing Royal Ghosts today. Mm-hmm. And your gal Carly here is going to go first.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
You went first last week, Celia.
Yes, ma'am.
Are we all good for business off the top? Want to just jump in?
Yeah, we just wanted to talk about Flim Flon and...
Yeah, that's true.
that's the important stuff we wanted to get off our chests.
Yeah, yeah. We're riding high off that Flim Flon data. So, hey, we're good. Let's jump in. Let's give Flim Flon what they asked for.
Go for it, baby.
Which is more ghosts. And... Yeah. Royal ghost specifically. So the reason I picked the ghost I did, Cecilia, is A, because you said royal ghost, but B, I thought of the place of where this person's ghost is because I've been watching Formula One.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. Pal of the pod, Patrick Teed, really begged me last week. Not begged me, really like doubled down on, Carly, you need to watch Formula One Drive to Survive on Netflix. You'll really get into Formula One.
Yes, he's tried to get me into this several times, yeah. And I have not done it yet.
Yeah. And it all started really with our friend Selena, who is amazing and who cuts our hair. So if you're in Toronto, Lebel and Crow is an incredible hair place. Just a quick shout out for Selena. But Selena is the one who got everyone into Formula One, all of our friends. And Patrick is really hitting it home hard for me. So I said, okay, well, what better do I have? Like, I'll take the time to watch something new. You know me, I love TV. Cecilia, when I say I finished four seasons of this show in than 3 days.
I'm not
less
that surprised.
Than 3 days.
Carly, that is not bad. That is not much for you.
Cecilia, I know. But I also had to watch dogs and go to work and, like, you know, like, I had things to do. It wasn't just, like, 3 days of no work, like, nothing to do. Cecilia, when I tell you, I watched 4 years of F1 fly by in 3 days. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed now.
Classic Carly mood.
It's classic me. Yeah. Fall fast and hard. And I am obsessed. And one of the hugest races, one of the most famous races, even if you don't know Formula One, you know the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yes.
It's in the movie Cars 2. Like,
yes,
we know the Monaco Grand Prix. It's
iconic. We know it from the movie Cars 2.
We know it from such as Cars 2.
From classic film Cars 2.
That's right. But it's in the zeitgeist. Like, F1 is, sure, everyone, like, F1's huge. I didn't realize F1 was so huge.
Yeah.
Because I'm stupid. But it's huge. And Monaco Grand Prix is the one, like, people think of when they think of Formula 1. For me, at least, I think. For people outside of Formula 1. And I was like, Monaco, you know who's, you know what? Let's look at Monaco. And you know what I remembered? I remembered that a very famous Hollywood starlet became the princess of Monaco once upon a time. And I also recently watched a documentary on her death.
Okay.
And so guess what? Today, I'm covering the mysterious death of Princess Grace of Monaco, a.k.a.
Grace Kelly.
So we have F1 to thank. Shout out to my boy, Daniel Ricciardo. He's my favorite driver. I love him. He's Australian and he's dumb. I love him. He's hilarious. But my team, is Ferrari. I love Ferrari. I love Carlos Sainz. He drives for Ferrari. I love Charles Leclerc. He drives for Ferrari. Why do I know all this? Because I'm in it. I'm in F1 now.
She picked the Italians, the Ferrari.
Ferrari. Come on. Ferrari's been there from the start. I could get into it. I won't. I'm just picking up where my Uncle Tony left off. Apparently, my dad told my dad that I'm really into F1 now. And he says, oh, Uncle Tony used to watch it all the time. And I said, he did? He said, yeah. And I was like, well, that makes sense. He was very European. He loved soccer and he loved F1.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that makes sense for Uncle Tony. But I...
You're following in his footsteps.
I have to follow in... Someone has to follow in his footsteps. His son, my cousin Anthony, actually probably is into Formula One. But I will take up the mantle for the next generation beyond. Because Anthony is my mom's first cousin. So I'm like a step below. So mm-hmm. I'll take it up for this generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be my mantle. I don't think my cousin Joey follows it. I don't know. I don't care. My sister might get into it, actually, because she actually loves cars. Oh, the funniest part, in case you're new here, I can't drive. So, yeah. Like, I don't... No, I really can't. I can't.
Can't drive, doesn't want to drive.
Yeah, more than I don't want to, The reason
she doesn't drive is because she does not want to. She has access.
Yeah, I don't like it.
To cars. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I'm gonna finally get my license all the way, but I just don't. You it doesn't bring me
say
joy.
That constantly,
but F1 does, and so maybe F1 will get me into driving.
Maybe anyways. It'll make you want to be fast and furious.
They are so fast, so furious, and I'm like, if they're mostly all alive, then I should be fine.
Mostly.
Period. Most
off. Hey.
So Monaco, back mm-hmm. to Monaco, back mm-hmm. to Princess Grace, curses, mystery, and ghosts.
Mm.
These are all things that my story might promise us today.
Okay.
So let's see. Start where it all began. Grace Patricia Kelly was born November 12th, 1929 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Fancy.
A super Catholic Scorpio.
Mm-mm.
She attended the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, or ADA, which is the way I came to know it because I have a few friends who went there. Shout out Laurel. Anyways, going on to star on stage and then explode into stardom as an icon of the silver screen, one of the most recognizable faces of 1950s Hollywood. Grace Kelly even won an Academy Award for her performance in The Country Girl. She worked a lot with Alfred Hitchcock, and she starred opposite leading men like Gary Cooper, Clark Gable, Jimmy Stewart, my favorite, Bing Crosby, Cary Grant, and Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully, we might as well call Grace Kelly a supernova, though, because she burned super bright and very quickly, and she fastly left Hollywood behind at age 26 and retired from acting to marry Prince Rainier of Monaco in April of 1956.
So fancy.
So fancy. She's at the height of her stardom. She's this huge Hollywood starlet. She's gorgeous. Like blonde hair. Like beautiful blue eyes. Like striking. Great actor.
She's like so gorgeous.
She's like upsettingly gorgeous. She's mm-hmm. someone who you look at, you're like, what?
You're like, of course she's
what
a princess.
What do you mean? Of course. But that's the thing. Of course she's a princess.
Of course she became a princess.
And I didn't write this down, but apparently she met... her husband, she met the prince in Cannes mm-hmm. at the film festival.
Of course.
And they were going to be in like a magazine feature together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got married, which is so cute. That's mm-hmm. so cute. Anyways, so we've set it up. We all know Grace Kelly. That's just a little bit about her in case you mm-hmm. really didn't know Grace Kelly. But hopefully now that I've said those things, it's jogged your memory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many powerful dynasties have been rumored to be cursed. Including the Kennedys, you know, mm-hmm. lots of dynasties. And it just so happens that our girl Grace married into one of these dynasties.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the royal houses of Europe, the Grimaldis are arguably met with the most misfortune. One of these misfortunes is the supposed curse that clouds the family. Legend goes that Prince Rainier I abducted a Flemish woman in the 13th century, who, in revenge, cursed him and his descendants, saying, "Never will a Grimaldi find happiness in marriage."
Uh-oh.
Oh, and another version of this story is that it was a witch being burnt at the stake who said that.
All right.
Also is very dramatic.
Okay.
But basically the curse is Grimaldis will never be happy in marriage.
Yes.
So regardless, many of the Grimaldis have found themselves unlucky in love through the years, if this curse is true or not.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Grace's in-laws had an unhappy marriage that lasted only 10 years and ended in 1930 when it became clear that the husband, Count Pierre, was gay and his wife, Prince Charlotte, moved in with her Italian doctor.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's unhappiness in marriage or just gayness, but, you know.
It's unhappiness because he's gay and he didn't want to be because married to gayness. A woman.
Yeah, but, like, is that, like... Yeah, maybe they cursed Princess Charlotte to marry a gay man. I don't know.
Yeah, it's cursed.
Charlotte herself was born illegitimate. Her mother was a cabaret singer, Marie-Juliette Louvot, and her father, Prince Louis II, only legitimized her after he failed to have any legitimate children. So,
okay.
Again, rocky families, drama. Rocky relations, rocky marriages. And Prince Louis himself didn't grow up surrounded by model marriage. His parents were only married a year when his 19-year-old mother fled her husband and Monaco with her young son in tow and for the marriage to later be annulled. So It's like generation after generation. Like, this is like four generations, essentially, of like marriages that don't work out for the Grimaldis.
Yeah.
Princess Grace's marriage had maybe the most tragic and mysterious end of all, her shocking death in 1982 at the age of 52. So on September 13th, 1982, Grace Kelly and her daughter, Princess Stephanie, were in a horrible car accident. Princess Grace was driving, which many thought as weird since she didn't really much enjoy driving. Ding, ding, ding. Me, me, me.
Carly.
And normally had a driver. But see, Princess Grace could drive. I can drive. It's just the government that thinks I can't drive. I haven't taken the test again. I have to take it again. It's fine.
You can't drive.
It's not that I failed. I just haven't taken the one that makes it permanent.
You have not driven and cannot drive.
I can. I've taken driving school twice. I can drive. I don't like it. And this is why. No, I'm kidding. I don't think that I'm going to have Princess Grace life. But anyways, it's food for thought. Princess Stephanie, who's her daughter, survived the crash with minimal injuries, but her mother died the following day in hospital from a cerebral hemorrhage, which may have occurred as a result of the crash, or more plausibly, was the cause of the crash. Driving through the hillsides of Monaco, Princess Grace missed a particularly sharp turn, sending the car over a 120-foot slope.
Jesus.
Stephanie later said of the crash, "Mommy kept saying, 'I can't stop. The brakes don't work.'" Stephanie pulled on the emergency handbrake, but the car careened over the edge. At the scene, no tire marks or signs that the car's brakes were ever used was found, and upon post-accident exam, the car was found in perfect working order, including the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdness. I got my sources today from Tatler.com, Scotsman.com, TownandCountryMag.com, Wikipedia, Biography.com, Lost Entity, Paranormal Facebook page, and Panic.com. Following the accident, the public was initially told Princess Grace had only suffered a few broken ribs and was expected to make a full recovery. Maybe it was this gross misinformation that led the public to forever be fascinated with the accident, to lead into the mystery, to speculate. Maybe it was because she's just so dang famous, and when famous people unexpectedly, you know, die, people are looking for answers and explanation.
I feel like especially if it's like a car accident, because you can like speculate so much about something like that.
Mm-hmm. And usually because car accidents, there's a lot of forensics that can be done that can determine what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if things are determined, nothing should have gone wrong, then people are like, wait a second.
Like, then what went wrong?
Yeah.
Whatever was the cause.
It kind of takes on an extra life.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of theories include the mafia took her out.
Of course.
Which I think is, of course the mafia's involved. Truthfully, I'm going to say off the bat, these are all kind of a lot. So one of them is the mafia took her out. Okay. Another is that Princess Stephanie was really the one driving the car, not Princess Grace, and that they covered it up. Because I think Stephanie was 17 at the time, and she wasn't, like, I don't think she had her driver's license or whatever. She was no Olivia Rodrigo, let's just say that. Princess Grace and Stephanie apparently were in a heated argument. before the crash because Stephanie wanted to marry her boyfriend, racing driver Paul Belmondo.
Racing boyfriend.
Racing Monaco Grand Prix.
All right.
Carly's obsessed. This hot racing boyfriend. She went to marry him. And
girl, you're 17.
She's 17. Yeah. So, like, of course, Princess Grace is like, girl.
She's like, what? No, don't marry your boyfriend. You're 17.
I mean, Princess Stephanie has commented on this since, and she's kind of, when people have asked her about that specifically, she's just kind of said, what my mom and I did or didn't talk about is kind of between us. I just kind of want to keep it, you know, yeah, those last memories for myself, which is really sad when you think about it. Like, that's like really devastating that people are like, so we heard that you and your mom were fighting.
Yeah, right.
Right before she died. Can you tell, like, oh, that's so sad. She's like, actually, I just want to keep those moments for myself.
Yeah,
so
that had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, like, you can be fighting and not crash a car. Guaranteed. I have an Italian mother. You know how often we fight in the car? All the time. Constantly. But when have we crashed because of a fight in the car? Zero times. Knock on wood. Anyways. But wildest, and I think newest of all of these, is that Princess Grace was a member of a secret elite cult called the Solar Temple.
Drama.
Which, like, I can't totally get into the Solar Temple. It's a whole other thing.
It's a whole thing.
It's like a whole, like, there's so much to it.
Yeah.
I think I watched like an hour documentary on that alone, on Princess Grace's relationship.
I think there's
with
like
the
an
Temple.
Unsolved Mysteries episode.
Is that
or
maybe
something.
What I watched? Okay.
I think so, maybe. Because I've definitely seen something. I can't remember what it is, though.
Yeah, it was something like that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. She's protecting the house. People are probably walking by. Yeah, so the Solar Temple, give it a look up. I can't go into it. There's so much. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. And it's weirdest that the yard that their car landed in was that of a member of the Solar Temple as well, which is wild. So, but most of all, I would say what most contributed to her death was probably not wearing a seatbelt and crashing a car off a cliff.
Yeah.
So I know for sure. Like,
that she definitely did.
They didn't wear seatbelts, and B, they went off a cliff. So whether or not it was that those actions were caused by something else or whatnot, I don't know. Who knows for sure? But though Grace Kelly herself didn't survive, the legend of Grace Kelly certainly survives to this day, as does possibly her ghost. At least her daughter Stephanie thinks so.
Okay.
So, when she became a pop star, this is Stephanie, she felt her mother's presence very strongly, saying, "I found I'd written my own song and recorded it without really being present to the whole thing. Something was just telling or guiding me to sit down and just write. I grabbed a pen and a pad and the words came flowing out. I can't explain it, but I don't feel as if I wrote them. The words just came into my head as if someone from the other side was writing them down for me." But that's not the only time Grace has helped her daughter from the spirit world. When she had her first TV appearances, this is still Stephanie, she was petrified. She couldn't speak. But as soon as she was in front of the camera, she heard her mother telling her to relax and to remember everything she had always told her. Yeah. Legend of Stein Screen. Grace Kelly.
Yeah, helping her out.
Girly. As well, on summer nights, Grace Kelly can be heard singing in the gardens of the city. And people know it because it's distinctly her voice. Can be heard singing in the gardens of the city of Monaco, close to the cathedral where she was wed. And something that's really interesting is that her husband, Prince Rainier, never remarried. So when he died in 2005, he was buried next to her. And ever since then, it seems as though the marriages are kind of working out for the Grimaldi family.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, like, if there was a curse, maybe they broke it. I don't know. Another really interesting thing is that Grace Kelly rarely did interviews when she left Hollywood. People kept trying to get her to come out of retirement. Like, Alfred Hitchcock tried so hard so many times to, like, get her back.
Yeah.
And she was like, "I'm a princess, yo. Get out of here.
Like, I have better things to do."
And she's like, I'm a princess. Leave me alone.
I'm a princess. I'm busy being a princess.
I'm so busy being literally a princess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she was kind of like, before the Meghan Markle moment, she was kind of the one. Like, she was the blueprint almost of that, of like joining a really big European family from Hollywood, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But what I was trying to get at is she rarely did interviews when she left Hollywood. But 3 months before her death, she was interviewed for 2020, not the year, the show. And she got to say how she wanted to be remembered. That was one of the weird questions they asked her. And she said, I suppose I think mostly in terms of my children and their children, how they will remember me. I would like to be remembered as trying to do my job well, of being understanding and kind. And then when asked about her career, like her Hollywood career, her acting career, people wanted to remember her for that, she said, I don't feel as though I achieved enough in my career to stand out more than many other people. I was very lucky in my career and I loved it, but I don't think I was accomplished enough of an actor to be remembered for that particularly. I'd like to be remembered as a decent human being and a caring one.
So humble. Girl, of course you're being remembered for being an actor.
Fucking Grace Kelly. She's Grace fucking Kelly.
She's like fancy lady.
She's like the blueprint. She's like one of the mega stars of like the golden age. And she's like, actually, I don't really think. I did anything special.
I think you should just
Academy Award.
Yeah, like, no. That has nothing to do with it.
We don't really think we did anything cool.
No. I didn't do much, honestly.
Yeah, Rear Window was fine. Like, you know, I'm like, girly, what? But yeah, so we can appreciate her for her ghostiness, her mysterious death, which is, you know, another tragedy. But we should also appreciate for, you know, the true, like, she is her name, Grace. She's so graceful.
She's like she embodies it in
everything.
The fanciest lady.
Yes. She is pure grace. Literally, in all ways. And that's the story of the mysterious, dipping our toes into, let's say, the mysterious death of Grace Kelly. Because we could go on forever.
Oh my God, yeah.
And we could also explain away a lot more of it, too. Like, why she was driving and not her driver. It's because her daughter was headed off to school, I believe, and they packed the car full. And by the time they finished packing up boxes of dresses in there, she was like, I'll just drive. Like, we won't fit, like, all three of us sitting. She's like, I'll just drive. Even though the driver said, oh, it's okay, I can come back for the dresses. She was like, nah, I'll drive, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because ever humble, she was like, I'm regular, I'm from Pennsylvania, it's chill. But yeah. So, Grace Kelly, one of the greats, one of the Graces. Yeah. One of the greats, Kellys. Okay, I'm done. But yeah. Yeah. And it's neat because, yeah, I started off going, Monaco, Grace Kelly, is she a ghost?
Of course she's a ghost.
But I didn't expect it to come from her daughter. That was
really
cool.
That's interesting. She helps me out.
Yeah. I also swear, like, there's maybe a couple places in Hollywood that have said, like, Grace Kelly or something, but maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe I'm just thinking she's Marilyn again. But
yeah.
Marilyn's everywhere. We've said it once, we'll say it again. Hardest working ghost in the industry.
She really is haunting everywhere.
She's the hardest working woman.
A Hollywood royalty.
She is, yeah.
Different. See, Grace Kelly is both Hollywood royalty and royal royalty.
Double duty royalty.
Yeah.
She's double duty royalty. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. But yeah, that's Grace Kelly, y'all.
Grace Kelly. All right, fancy lady. Mine is a little bit more all over the place. Yeah. Not physically, but because I chose a place that I picked a place instead of a person. That is,
I love that.
Super haunted because it is very oldly, maybe not settled, it's very old.
It's just old.
It's very old. And it's been home to so much drama. Because you talked about the Grace and the fancy side of royalty. I'm going to talk about the messy side of being royal.
And great. Like, I talked about the face, and you'll talk about the truth.
About the real, like,
realities.
How power makes everything fucking messy and
I'm awful. So excited.
And I can't wait. In my research, I mean, I'm going to do a bad job kind of talking about a lot of this because it's a lot about, like, royal succession and stuff like that, which I do not understand for the most part. Especially,
it's not as hard as you'd think.
Yeah, but a lot of the time there's, like, power struggles and things like that. Yeah, so yeah. I won't necessarily get that much into it because I have a lot of ghosts.
Yeah, because the crown is always under threat.
The crown is always under threat. And I'm talking about the English royal family. And
the crown
always
is always
a fucking
under threat.
Mess. So I'm talking about the Tower of London.
Oh, I was hoping you. That's
which is home to many a royal ghost and a not so royal ghost. So I have a bit of both.
So much going on. Love it.
So I got my information from the Tower of London website, Historic UK, ExploringCastles.com, London Walks, which has a haunted walk of the Tower of London. If you wanted to get more information there. So, it is officially Her Majesty's Royal Palace and Fortress of the Tower of London. It is a castle on the north bank of the Thames in central London. It has been there a long-ass time. Not in its current state, but it was first built as a tower in 1066 by William the Conqueror during the Norman Conquest. Big year, 1066.
Big year, 1066.
1066. Not a real year, but a big year. The Norman Conquest. So that's where our drama starts. Like most super old castles that we've talked about, it's been like built up and rebuilt throughout the centuries.
Yeah, for sure.
It has served as a royal residence for much of its history, but it has also very famously served as a prison. From as early as 1100 up until 1952.
That's so long.
Yeah.
That's so long.
And it also has been...
That might be the longest serving prison we've done on this show.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, probably.
But it's also strange because it's both. Like, it is...
Yeah.
It has been at the same time a prison and a place where royals live, which is weird as hell.
Very that, yeah.
So it has also
interesting
been...
Interesting choice, England.
Interesting choice to be like, oh yeah, the royals live in this tower, then this tower is where our... where we have the traitors imprisoned.
Well, they hold all the criminals in the same place. All the criminals at court, baby. Ooh, monarchy joke.
They're bad. Royals, not great. It has also been an armory, a treasury, a menagerie, aka just like a fancy
that's
zoo.
Cool.
The home
menagerie.
Of the Royal Mint. It's been a public records office, and it's the home of the crown jewels of England.
Yeah, it is, baby.
Let's see.
The crown jewels.
The crown jewels.
They're not just like a figure of speech. They like exist.
Yeah,
they're
like jewels. Actual jewels.
They're like really jewels.
They're for real. They're jewels.
Yeah.
They have like a guard
it's
and
not
everything.
Like it's not like Richard Simmons family jewels. Like, no. It's real.
It's
like
the jewels.
They're real jewels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're there. It has a real long and exciting history. You could probably just like make a whole podcast about that and talk about that for
just about that.
So many episodes, but I'm just going to talk about some of the ghosts. So according to some websites, the Tower of London famously has 13 ghosts.
Oh, that's a spooky number too. And lucky if you're Italian.
Yeah.
I like that.
But that kind of depends on the source you're looking at. But it sounds cool, so I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, let's double down on that.
13 ghosts, exactly.
Ghosts.
No more, no less. Definitely not any more or any less.
100%.
So the first of our ghosts is actually one that we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yes.
Back in episode 91. So if you want to hear more about this, go listen to that. Because Carly's already told us about all of the wives of Henry VIII.
That's right.
And one of them, Anne Boleyn, she was beheaded and executed on Tower Green. And she is said to remain at the Tower. She's spotted at the Tower of London a lot. Again, if you want to hear more, I'm not going to tell you because we've already talked about it.
We've done it. You know Anne Boleyn. Greensleeves.
We
get it.
Done it. Ghost number two. Not really a royal guy, but a guy who tried to kill a royal guy.
What?
Guy Fawkes. Literally a guy.
Oh, yeah, he's literally a guy.
Guy Fawkes.
Remember, so, remember.
Remember, remember. Back on the 5th of November in 1605, right. He tried to blow up Parliament and assassinate James I. Guy Fawkes was a Catholic, and James I was not so tolerant of Catholics. He was a Protestant king. So he was like, well, let's kill him and a bunch of other people. So they were going to blow up Parliament. They got caught. Guy Fawkes specifically was the one that got caught. And he was brought to the Tower and tortured. And he wasn't actually executed there, but he was, like, prepared for his execution there.
Right.
And it is said that you can still hear his screams and cries from when he was being tortured at the White Tower where the torture took place.
Wow. Wow, that's very dramatic.
Probably the place to go.
Must have been some hardcore torture.
Yeah, I mean, they...
Must have been some grade A torture then.
They brought him there to try and figure out, like, his accomplices in this plot, this gunpowder plot. So they tortured him. He gave them up. They all were executed, I think.
They all got got.
Yeah. They all got got.
Damn, if only he was good at his job.
He wasn't.
They wouldn't all got got.
No, he got got. He didn't hide it well enough.
I guess they could have just maybe not tried to blow up the king.
No, they did. That's and also an option, they're, I mean, they're famous as hell for it, especially old guy.
That's true. Super famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Another ghost. Is Henry VI. He was also imprisoned at the Tower of London for, you know, complicated political reasons. I don't know. I, like, read a little bit about it, and then I was like, this is boring.
you were like, Henri, no.
So they didn't like this Henry, and they imprisoned him, and then they killed him at the altar in the king's private chapel in 1471.
In his private chapel?
They killed him in the private chapel close to
midnight. That's gotta hurt.
It's very dramatic.
That's really drama.
And it's said that if you enter Wakefield Tower at the stroke of midnight, the time of his death, you might see the unfortunate king wandering around.
The unfortunate. So unfortunate.
So unfortunate. He did. He got got.
He got got real good.
I can tell you one thing about most of these things. Guys, spoiler alert. They all got got.
Guys, they got got.
You know who else got got?
Just like, I almost got got because I didn't know that they all got got.
Do you know who got got? And I didn't really know much about him. Sir Walter Raleigh.
Oh, yeah, he got got.
He got got. And I either read about him years and years ago and forgot, but they were like, he got imprisoned at the Tower of London three times. By both Elizabeth
Defender.
The First and James the First. So the first time was Elizabeth I, who, by all reports, and if you read anything about Sir Walter Raleigh and Elizabeth I, she was, like, obsessed with him. She would,
she
like,
really was.
Send
she
him
really,
on
really
his expeditions, but eventually was like, nope, you have to, like, stay here with me and hang out, and I don't want you going anywhere. And
you
I
gotta
also
chill, man. I'm
don't
the queen.
Don't want you going off and marrying anybody.
That's right. Look at me in my white, white face.
But he married her lady in waiting and he had a baby with her. And Elizabeth was not pleased. Mm-mm. So she threw all three of them in prison. Walter, his wife, and his baby were sent to the Tower of London. And the baby died of the plague. So the queen felt bad. She's like, whoopsie daisy. Oh, so she let them all go.
I didn't mean to kill this baby of the plague.
Like, oh no, I just wanted to imprison this baby, not kill him. It was just a little prank. No. So
she's just like, I'm just trying to do a funny one.
She's like, oopsie. Oh, so she let him go. That was the only time that he was imprisoned by Elizabeth. But when she died and James I rose to power, they didn't get along so well, Raleigh and James the First. Because James the First was pretty open to like Catholic influence. He wasn't a Catholic, I don't think, but he was like okay with them. And he also
he was chill about it.
Was trying to like amend like relations with Spain. And Raleigh famously really hated Spain and really hated Catholics. So he was like, fuck this.
And Spain
I'm not into
is
this.
Really famously Catholic.
Yes. And he hated both. So he was not into James I, and he was suspected of trying to replace James with Lady Arabella Stuart.
Drama.
Keep her in your brain. She's going to come up later.
Oh, baby, I know the Stuarts. We got this.
Arabella. So they never really found out if he was actually involved in this kind of plot, but he was sentenced to life in the Tower of London anyway.
Yeah.
He spent.
They're like, just put him back. Who cares?
I don't like this guy. Throw him in the tower.
They're like, he knows his way around. Just let him back. Just
put him in the Tower of London. Because he was a fancy guy, he had kind of like the penthouse suite of the Tower of London. So you read about it and you're like, oh, he was in prison. That sucks. But he had two rooms on the upper floor of the Bloody Tower. I don't think it was called the Bloody Tower at the time, but that's what it's called now.
I love it so much.
Yes. So they're pretty spacious and well furnished, and he could have visitors there, and he was able to grow exotic plants from seeds collected on his journeys. So it wasn't that bad. I mean, he was not happy about it because obviously he's an explorer. He doesn't want to be stuck in a tower.
It's kind of like house arrest, but they tell you where you live.
Yeah. You're like house arrest. You're going to have an okay time. It's not like being in actual prison, but it's not ideal.
But it's not. You're not going to like. Live for it. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So he was there for 13 years. Eventually released. James I decided that he wanted to send him on a search for gold in Guyana.
Oh, of course.
So he's like, okay, I'm going to give this guy another chance. We're going to send him and try and get some gold for the crown. He did not behave well. He ended up kind of fucking with the Spanish, destroying a bunch of their shit, and coming back without even a little bit of gold.
Because he's a nuisance.
He came back with zero gold.
Good for him.
He is a little stinker, this Sir Walter Raleigh.
He's a stinker guy.
He's a little stinker. So he comes back without one spot of gold, and he was accused of deliberately inciting war between England and Spain, and was imprisoned again.
Of course. Oh, God.
In the Tower of London. And this time, instead of being like, just life imprisonment, they executed him. They beheaded him. He was beheaded outside of the palace, the Westminster Palace.
Yeah. Well, they say third time's the charm, so.
And this is.
That's where this saying comes from.
And this has not that much to do about his ghost, but it's really weird. So his head, after they beheaded him, was embalmed. And given to his grieving widow. And she kept it with her in a red velvet bag until she died 29 years later. So she just carried a head everywhere with her?
Iconic corpse much?
I guess. Like, It said she kept it with her. Did she keep it with her, like, in her house, or did she carry it around?
Yeah. Was it like a purse moment?
Yeah.
Or was it just like she put it in a closet somewhere?
Was it her purse and she also like kept like coins in it too? Just like when she like reached into it to like get stuff.
She could just feel around.
She'd feel around, but it also has like her dead husband's fucking head in it.
She like his mouth is just a little agape. She stuffs her bills in there. Yeah, money clip. It's like a really big money clip.
Yeah. I have so many questions.
So many questions, no answers.
No. The bag.
That's wild.
The bag apparently is still kept by descendants of Sir Raleigh. I'm not sure if the head is still in it. They have it somewhere.
All right.
Not sure where his head is. Might still be in the bag, but his ghost is said
to haunt.
We
can't answer the question, how's his head?
We have questions. His ghost definitely, definitely, this is proof. It haunts the Bloody Tower. Probably, bitching about how the damn Spanish and the Catholics and
such. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Another poor, unfortunate lady is Margaret Pole. She was the Countess of Countess of Salisbury, so like royal adjacent, I suppose. She, like our pal Anne Boleyn, was beheaded by Henry VIII on Tower Green. Like Anne Boleyn, she didn't really actually do anything wrong. Her crime was being the mother of Cardinal Pole, who opposed Henry's creation of the Church of England and his self-created position as the head of this new church.
Right.
So her crime was just having a child who grew up to be someone who didn't agree with Henry VIII. So Henry VIII was like, all right, we gotta kill her. So she was executed at 67 years old by, quote, a wretched and blundering youth who was real bad at being an executioner and was unable to cleanly chop off her head. Instead, he just hacked at her head and shoulders until she died. Which is fucked. Bad enough to be executed.
Yeah, you, like, want your, like, doctor to be really good, and you're, like, executioner, you know, to, like, do their jobs well. That's a bummer.
Who else we got? Another unfortunate lady, Lady Jane Grey, who was the English queen with the shortest reign. Yeah! She was only queen for 9 days.
The 9 days queen. Poor girl. Days queen.
She was like 17
nine
years
days
old.
Queen.
She was just like a kid.
She was
literally
a girl.
There's a bunch of power struggles involved in this one that I'm not gonna like explain because there's too much going on. There's so much going on.
It like moves fast. Like this part of who's in power moves fast.
It's fucked. But basically, yeah, it's Henry VIII died. His son, Edward V, Edward VI, came into power.
Mm-hmm.
Edward the something.
Edward VI fell
ill, probably of tuberculosis, and he wrote a will that named Lady Jane Grey as his successor, probably at the insistence of the king's protector, John Dudley, because he had arranged for her to marry his son. So he was like, oh, this will help me. My son's going to be in charge. His children will be king later on. So she, when Edward died at just 15, was brought to the Tower of London for her coronation, and she would never leave. Brought there for her coronation and only lasted 9 days.
Drama.
I know. Well, no, I think she spent a couple days as kind of like queen and then
I mean, like, if you can say I was queen not in prison for a couple days,
she was queen
and the
for...
rest of your reign you were in prison, you're pretty much in prison.
Yeah, it was not great. So it was because the oldest daughter of Henry VIII, Mary, sort of wrote to the council, talked to the council, and demanded that she be made queen. And she was more popular than Jane because everyone was like, who the fuck is this Jane Grey character? We don't know her. Because
she's not part of the family. And
She's like some weird like cousin of a cousin that just like somehow became queen. I don't know. There's too much.
Well, she became queen because there were no male heirs. That's the problem, is like the succession line, because Edward had no kids, it would eventually go to someone's cousin.
Yeah. So it was like a cousin. No one had a male child at this point.
No.
So they were just like, whatever, this Jane lady.
A legitimate one. Yeah.
Yes. So Mary, who was the daughter of Henry VIII, was like, well,
what about me?
Oldest. What about me? Wouldn't it make sense? I know I'm a lady, what about me? Yeah. And the council was like, you know what? What about her? Let's make her queen.
Yeah. They're like, we kind of know her. Sure.
They're like, yeah, we like her. We don't like this Jane person that much. Like, Jane apparently showed up for the coronation and was like, what the fuck? Why am I going to be queen? She, like, wasn't that into it. She was kind of freaked out by it. Because
she's also a young child.
She's 17.
Just like, what?
She
wasn't ready for the monarchy. None of it.
She did. She wasn't that into it. She, like, wanted her husband to be king. And they were like, no, that's not how it works.
Oh yeah, they were like big time. Absolutely,
they're like absolutely not. Hell no.
And I think she's pretty sure it's because her husband she was queen because her husband was a really big player.
Yes, yeah, so her husband political player. Her husband was the son of the king's protector.
Yeah.
So they were he was wanting to get him in there. It didn't work out. Basically, Mary was made the queen, and Jane and her husband. Yeah. Were tried for high treason and condemned to be dead.
So dramatic.
So dramatic.
Still get tried for high treason? Like, is that a possibility?
I don't know. Probably.
I don't know. That's so. It feels like such an old timey thing.
What would you have to do to be like high treasonous?
Yeah. What's low treason and what's high?
Yeah.
Treason?
What is high treason?
Where is the line?
Is there low treason? Yeah. Is there just regular treason? Like.
Plain old treason.
Or are they always just so upset that they're like, high treason?
Yeah, you never hear about plain old treason nowadays.
No, there's no.
Nor do we hear about high treason.
Regular old treason.
Come on, what happened to regular old treason?
To regular good old fashioned, some good old fashioned treason.
Bring back good old fashioned treason. If you ask me, we should bring back old fashioned treason.
So, high treason.
especially the
the highest of treason.
The highest. I feel like you'd have to do something really terrible. Like,
I don't know.
To get to be high treason, like you'd have to in today's age, like steal someone's crypto wallet. Like, is that high treason?
That's high treason.
High treason.
High treason. No, I think that's something else. I think that might be a different crime.
Oh, you mean just theft?
That's just theft.
Okay, okay. Is it high theft? Or is it?
Oh, no. That's like fake theft of a crypto wallet. Okay. It's not real.
Yeah. No, I agree. But also neither is high treason anymore.
It is. So. I mean, it was real. In 1554, it was real. That's and true. They moved that's them true. From the like fancy coronation place in the tower to the prison. They stayed in the prison for a few months before they were... Both Jane and her husband were executed on the Tower Green in 1554, and her white figure is said to haunt the battlements of the Tower of London to this day.
Dang!
The battlements. Her husband as well, Lord Guildford Dudley. What a name. What a guy.
What a name. Guildford. What a guy. What a name.
What a guy. What a name.
Guildford Dudley.
Guildford Dudley really rolls off the tongue.
There's so many D's in that name.
Guildford Dudley.
Like, who? Oh, wow. What a great name. Who thought, you know what letter I love? D.
D.
And then just used every one they could find.
And I'm named my child Guildford.
You gotta put Dudley as the middle name. You gotta
Guildford
keep it
Dudley.
Yeah, that's right.
He also haunts Beauchamp Tower, where his sobs can be heard late into the night.
Not his sobs.
His sobs. He's crying.
No.
He's so sad.
He's crying. Someone help. He's crying.
Someone help. He's sad.
He crying. He cry, cry, cry.
He's so sad. He was like, I was almost the not king, the king, the queen's husband. But he was the queen's husband for 8 days, 9 days.
Well, you know what? He's so lucky. He a star, but he cry.
He wasn't that lucky. He got fucking executed.
And his lonely heart thinking.
He got.
He got. Oh my god! They really do all get got.
They get got. You know who else got?
Wow.
Who I brought up earlier? Arabella Stewart.
Ooh yeah! Give it to us, Arabella Stewart.
She got. So she. Is another lady that haunts the Tower of London. She was a cousin of Elizabeth I, who, like I said earlier, she was a threat to the throne of James I. There were sort of plots to make her take over for him. And she was imprisoned by James I for marrying William Seymour, who was the nephew of Lady Jane Grey. Without royal consent. And James was like, this is a threat to my throne. You're in prison.
Well, like high royals have to get royal consent.
Yes.
For who they can marry.
And she didn't.
So that this doesn't happen. And she didn't. And so he was like, no.
She didn't follow the royal rules. And she...
Wow.
He threw her away.
She got royally got because she didn't follow the royal rules.
She got. When imprisoned in the tower, she either refused to eat or was not given food, and she starved to death.
Dang!
And her ghost is said to roam the queen's house at the tower. Okay. I guess she's like, I could have lived here in my life, but instead,
I could have once been the queen.
I live here in my death.
Well, good for her. Death is longer than life.
Yeah.
Probably.
So she gets what she wants. So, she gets to be in the queen's house.
Yeah.
She doesn't get to be the queen.
No, but she gets to be in the house, and that's what matters.
Yes.
Squatter's rights. Okay.
So the next ghost is actually two ghosts. So if you're counting, I don't know where we're at.
If we're counting, if you're counting, stop counting.
Stop counting. I said there were 13 ghosts, but there aren't necessarily 13 ghosts. Don't keep track.
Just believe her. She's telling you as much as she wants to tell you.
So this one's sad because it's the lost princes of the Tower of London. Little baby boys are lost princes, the young sons of Edward the Fourth.
Okay.
12-year-old Edward. Who ended up being Edward V for a short period of time, and his younger brother, Richard. So when old Edward, the dad, Daddy Edward, when he died,
Daddy Edward died,
his son rose to power under the protection of his uncle, the Duke of Gloucester, because he's only 12.
Right.
His uncle.
That's a classic thing.
Yeah.
That's like a classic
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
His uncle, however, should not have been trusted as protector because he wanted power for himself, and he imprisoned the boys in the Tower of London. He was like, nah, man. They're not going to be king. Edward's not going to be king. I'm going to be king. And he declared himself, guess what? Richard the Third.
King. Richard the Third. I was going to say, is this the villainous story of Richard the Third?
Sure is. Carly, you know all about him.
I've read this play. I know all about it. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is
Richard the Third.
Oh.
Carly's excuse for not hanging out for months in first year university was that she was reading Richard the Third.
Yeah, so, we told the story before.
I really hope she's actually read it.
I have!
I hope she knows about it.
I do know about it. It's a Shakespeare play.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read it.
Yes.
But I did use it as an excuse for not 3 months, for like a
month. I didn't
say
three, I said months.
Okay, months, plural, no. Tops, maybe one.
Years.
Ages. Eons.
So long. She was reading Richard III for so long.
I lied. I just wanted to watch Netflix.
But it's brought us all to this point of the villainous Richard III coming up on the podcast.
Ooh,
so
that's really funny.
He declared himself king. And
yeah, of course he did.
The boys, his nephews, were never seen again, believed to have been murdered at the order of their uncle.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. Think so.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1674, the skeletons of two boys were found under a stone staircase during renovations. They were thought to be the bones of the lost princes.
The lost prince.
The lost prince.
And then Richard III was found recently.
Yeah.
It was found under a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you get got.
Sometimes.
And then you get got.
He got got too. These kids.
He got got
unfortunately.
As well.
Got.
These kids got got. But then can you imagine to be a king and then only to be under a parking lot? You get got in the end.
You got got.
You got got.
You got got. The boys, they are said to roam the tower. The figures of two little boys is often seen. They're holding hands. And they're often seen in the White Tower, drifting between rooms. They kind of melt into walls.
They melt into walls.
They melt into walls. Like they just disappear into walls. You know, like in like Harry Potter, the little ghosts.
Yeah.
Go through the walls.
It's a classic.
Like that, but it's just two little boys. Some have also heard children.
We don't always hear about ghost stories where they melt into the walls.
Yeah, I feel like we don't hear that.
But
enough.
We see it a lot in pop culture, so I really appreciate that.
So this is
these
one of those
are doing the heavy
they're
lifting.
They're doing it. They are going through walls. They're also giggling. To people have heard kids.
Oh,
giggling,
I don't like that though. We don't like children giggling. Mm-hmm. That makes us really stressed, especially ghost children.
Yeah. The rest of our ghosts, don't count them. Don't know where we're at. They're a little less specific, a little more mysterious. We have, of course, a white lady. The white lady of the Tower of London.
Gotta have a lady in a color.
So she really could be any of the ladies we've talked about here. It's entirely possible. I'm sure other ladies have also died or been imprisoned or had a really bad time at the Tower of London. So it could be anyone. She is most often smelled before she's seen.
Whoa.
People report an overwhelming smell of cheap perfume, enough to make some visitors sick.
Not cheap perfume.
So maybe she's not royal. Wow. Or maybe she's just tacky. No.
Maybe she doesn't want to stop believing.
What?
Is she accompanied by the smell of wine?
What?
And cheap perfume? Oh. She doesn't want to stop believing.
Oh, I get it. I understand. Do you get it? Yeah, okay.
You're there with us now?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've been watching so much Formula One. I'm just moving so fast. So we need to catch up.
You're moving in weird directions. You're zigzagging along.
I'm zigzagging along. I'm moving real quick. You got to catch up with these jokes, Cecilia.
Speaking about believing.
Don't stop believing, Cecilia. Promise me you won't.
Some visitors have also reported feeling a tap on their shoulder. And then when they turn around, they just see like a wisp of white. Disappear.
Wow, that's freaky.
There's also just been like shadowy white figures seen around the tower. Another one that one of my sources talked about was a ghostly monk. Not a lot of information about this monk. I don't know if there actually were ever monks living at the tower. I don't really know the deal. Didn't look into it that much. So if you want to look into that more yourself, sure. But people hear the slapping of sandals against the stone floor, so
it's like flip flop.
It's a bunch of people hear flip flops and they're like, "Oh, ghost monk,
ghost monk."
Must be a ghost monk.
Just the monks flip flops again.
And guess what? We got a first on the podcast, I believe.
What?
Ghost bear.
I believe this is a Ghost River first. Ding, ding, ding. Ghost Let's ring the bear. Bell. Ding, ding, ding. Ghost bear.
Ghost bear.
Wow. I don't think we've done a ghost bear.
I don't think we have, so we've got a ghost bear. So Henry.
In the Tower of London?
The Tower of London. Because remember I told you about the menagerie?
You did. You mentioned it off the top. The menagerie. You mentioned something.
So way back, Henry III, he had a menagerie at the Tower. He had wild animals, including pumas, tigers, jackals, an elephant, and bears.
Ooh!
The ghost of a bear is said to appear behind the door of the jewel room, where I guess the jewels, what are they called? The jewels of England.
The family jewels.
The family jewels. What are they called?
The crown jewels.
The crown jewels. It's where they're kept. And a story from the 1800s. Is told by E.L. Swift, who worked in the jewel room. So he said, one of the sentries at the Martin Tower was alarmed by a figure like a huge bear emerging from underneath the door. Which, underneath the door? Wild. I guess it just
That's
like...
freaky. Like, da-da-da-da!
Ta-da, I'm a bear. He thrust at it with his bayonet, which stuck in the door. He dropped in a fit and was carried senseless to the guard room. Of all this, I avouch nothing more than that I saw the poor man in the guardhouse prostrated with terror, in that in 2 or 3 days, the fatal result was that he died. So he was so scared by the ghost bear, he died.
Death by ghost bear?
Death by ghost bear.
We're talking about a murderous ghost
bear. It's a murderous bear ghost. Ghost bear. Mm-hmm. So?
Oh, England really has it all,
guess,
huh?
Guess you weren't expecting that. I just kept thinking about, do you know in Pocahontas 2, Journey to a New World?
Your favorite Pocahontas film, absolutely.
You know when she's taken to, like, the ball and there's the bear and she's worried about the
bear?
They
have the dancing bear.
They have the dancing
bear.
Stops
the ball.
That's what I was thinking about. I was like, wow, maybe the bear's pissed because that happened to him.
Oh,
maybe that's the
bear.
He was a dancing bear.
Maybe it's the bear that it's that specifically that bear from Pocahontas.
Yeah, I think so.
Journey to a New World. Oh no.
Maybe that's the bear.
You said bear and I rewatched The Great last month.
Mm.
And so I was thinking about they have lots of bears in that series. Where they bring them to court and they make them do things too.
Yeah. It's
the same kind of deal.
Yeah, it's pretty rude. Same
kind of shtick. And then I also thought about Brother Bear. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't think about that for too long
because
I
cry.
He had to become a bear to become a man. Okay, I'm done. Anyways.
He had to become a ghost to truly become a bear.
He had to become a ghost to truly become the murderous bear.
You become a really scary bear. People also have told stories about hearing the roars of lions echoing through the tower.
Whoa!
So, ghost lions. As well as the phantom shapes of horses galloping down the cobblestones, their eyes glowing red.
Whoa.
Which we've definitely had before.
That, yeah, that
happens all the time.
Classic, but also really scary.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never feel okay with horses whose eyes glow red.
Yeah, glowing eyes, horses. So that was definitely 13 ghosts, no more, no less.
No more, no less. That's how we like it.
Don't
baby.
Count them, but definitely was.
You don't need to.
You don't need to. Yeah, that is the 13 ghosts of the Tower of London. If you find yourself in London, you can visit. You can explore a bunch of these towers, and there's ghost tours who will tell you all about it.
That's so cool. We gave two stories, but we gave 14 ghosts today. So
we gave so many ghosts. We gave exactly 14 ghosts. No more, or less.
Round of applause for us. Let's hear it.
Is that the most ghosts?
It might be a record for most ghosts in an episode. Mm. You have to acknowledge good work when you see it. And so.
Yeah, that's a lot of ghosts. A lot of goddamn ghosts. The Tower of London, that's really fucking haunted.
Tower of London? Guess what? So many people got.
So many. That's what happens when you've been there since 1066 and you keep just getting got. When you have that much drama.
What happens when you. When it's the, like, longest prison in the world.
Yeah.
And you got royals mixed in.
When you're
all kinds of scandal.
Like, British monarchy and you want to be drama.
Oh my god, that's their goal every year.
Mm-hmm.
They bring it to us
every
ball.
They live for it. They live for the drama.
They live for the drama. They bring the drama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Well, that's really... That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't wait to visit the Tower of London. That's going to be really fun.
Yeah. We'll go. We'll do it.
Ugh.
We'll make it happen.
We'll go. We will definitely do it. I want to go to Monaco. I want to watch the Grand Prix in Monaco one day.
I almost went to Monaco. I was in Nice.
We should go when we're rich and we can go on a yacht.
Oh,
and
my fancy.
Go to the Grand Prix in Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
I already told that to Pal the Pod, Patrick Teed. And Patrick's like, yeah, obviously. We can go.
We're going to get ourselves on a yacht somehow.
We need rich friends. So if you're a rich friend in Monaco, let us
know. If you have a yacht, honestly, if you have a yacht anywhere, hit us up.
Yeah, we'll be some yacht girls.
Honestly, it doesn't have to be a yacht. If you have a boat of any kind.
As long as it's not like a rowboat.
Yeah, if it's a rowboat, that's not as good. If it's like
we'll
a canoe or kayak, like, sure, I don't know.
Well, like, we've seen canoes and kayaks. I've seen canoe in my day.
But if you have, like, a good boat, if you got a decent boat.
Yeah, if you've got a real deal kind of boat, I mean, who are we to say no to a ride? Right.
We love a boat. It's
summertime. Then we can play I'm on a boat on the boat.
Oh, we
which
would
is
love
our,
to.
Our dream.
It's summertime. Let
Come
us
on
your boat,
make it
people.
Happen. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, where can people find us, Cecilia, so they can let us on their boats? So
okay, if you want to let us on your boat, you can message us on Instagram at Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod. We also have a TikTok, and if you let us on your boat, we'll take a TikTok on your boat. We'll make a TikTok.
What?
We'll make a boat TikTok. We're gonna become boat people. At Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod as well.
It's kind of been our goal for a while. We think that we should be boat people.
We've always wanted to be goat people. Boat people.
We've wanted to be goat people, but first we'll be boat people.
We'll be boat people.
We'll tackle goats.
Being goat people is for later in life.
That's right.
We're too young to be goat people.
Yeah, we can't be retired goat people yet.
No, that's
for later.
Once
we're retired, we can be goat people.
That's for later.
That's down the road.
Twitter.
Boat people.
Twitter at GAE Pod.
Yeah.
We have a Patreon if you want to give us money so that we can buy our own boat.
That's true. We do support our boat fund.
Support
on Patreon.
We're gonna start a GoFundMe. You can give us money so that we can buy a boat, and then you all be invited on our boat.
Oh my god, boat party.
Boat party.
Yeah, that's patreon.com/ghostsareeverywhere.
And you can fund our boat.
That's right. And we have general fun. Come on. You'll love it.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's been us for this week.
That has been us, and you're welcome.
Thanks for joining us. Shout out once again to Flim Flan. Hey,
we love you.
Thanks for coming along for the ride. That one's for everyone. And we'll see you next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oof.
No yelling.
They have things to say. Right, they want to be stars. They want to be on the podcast.